good morning to everybody that's here. Good morning, you guys out there that are watching. And you're not just watching, you're actually participating with us, because I hear from a lot of you guys out there, okay? And right now I want to give, you know, I start out with a couple of shout outs. I want to give Mr. Pat, he's on our prayer team. If you've ever talked to Mr. Pat, he is a prayer warrior. I mean, he's all about witnessing everywhere he goes. I mean, he's like a walking Bible, right? He's so strong in the Lord, and he has such a heart for the Lord Jesus. And I just want to say thank you, Mr. Pat, for what you do for his kingdom. And I want to say a shout out to Kaylin and little Bob. I want y'all to know that Jesus loves you no matter what you're going through in your life. He loves you. And Miss Amber, she is a targeted individual, and she talks to me a lot, and I want to say that you're a blessing. Don't give up. Don't give up. Santiago, he's 23 years old out there, y'all. I like hearing from these younger guys. Y'all are out there, the younger crowd. There's some in here, too, that are young like you, even younger, okay? And so you're a blessing to hear the things that you were commenting online. And I want to give a shout-out to Michael. He's been so uplifting and encouraging with the things he said. He came on and he said on one of the messages, he said, "I can't believe anybody's giving thumbs down." He goes, "I don't get it." And he was saying how encouraging and he liked our messages. But I want to tell y'all something. I told y'all they're running interference and they're trying to do what they can do against this ministry. This message series right now that I've been speaking out is one of the hardest hit messages that they've come at. Okay, this one and Satan in the school system, they have hit those two hard. And I see when Scott gets the message ready to go on Saturday and we put it out online, that probably within the first 10 minutes there's a thumbs down. Now I want to tell you something. That person hasn't even started to watch the message, okay? Because you guys know I'm not a short speaker, all right? But so that's okay. You know, they're going to do what they're going to do. But I'm going to tell you something. God is the one that's holding us in his righteous right hand, okay? So it don't matter what they run their interference, okay? And Mr. Wang, I seen you take a pretty good beat down from the world and from some of the churches that you've been in, and I want to tell you something. That's okay that the world's trying to beat you down, but let Jesus lift you up, okay? Don't give up. Now, I want to tell y'all, this is part four. This is still on Mandela Effect. I'm going to wrap this up today. If something else breaks loose with this whole Mandela Effect, because it's ongoing, from what I can see, it's ongoing. We're now in these changing, deceptive times, okay? It's not like they just did their little science and witchcraft once and we're done. They're continuing to do it, okay? So we're going to keep seeing changes. We're going to keep seeing it ramp up, right? I mean, we're getting ready for tribulation. We're getting ready for war, spiritual war. I mean, this is all ramping up to Armageddon. So don't think it's just going to smooth out and level out. And now that they've seen they've had success on stuff, they're going to back out and stop. Is that what the enemy ever does? When they see they're having success, don't they keep going? Don't they hit it that much harder? Yes, they do. So, okay, but we're going to wrap it down today. And I have something else that's kind of a surprise at the end of this, because we're going to talk about Pulse. You know, for those of us here in America, we're familiar with what just supposedly happened in Orlando at that nightclub, and we're going to talk about it just a little bit, only because it intertwined with some of the research that I was led to in this message, okay? And I want to tell y'all also, some of y'all are looking for the clips and the things that I use in my research, the things that I've studied. You want to go behind me? I'm not putting those on YouTube anymore, because in the info box, they cut those clips off. They just put dot, dot, dot. They won't even show the whole address. So if you go to the church website and click on sermons, you can see this whole manuscript thing that I put together, okay? You'll see the whole thing there. And at the end of it, I have all of the links where you can go and watch the same videos, the same websites, the same research I did, okay? And let your Holy Spirit lead you. That's who's leading me. That's who needs to lead you, okay? So I want to start out, and I want to tell y'all real quick that I added a link because Miss Teresa shared a video with me that was a really good breakdown on, remember that, it's either the first or second part where we showed that the guy at CERN, the old man, he was sitting there and he had those signs hanging around his neck that one of them said Bond number one, and the other one said Mandela, and he had his little notebook paper that said, "We're happy at CERN," and he would put it in front of his face, and then he would pull it out, and he was doing the thumbs up. Okay, if you want to know, which we've already showed, all of this is tied into CERN. It's science and witchcraft together is how they're doing this, okay? Now, but if you want to hear more about, he gives a really good breakdown of the clues that they showed in that CERN video. There are some of you guys out there that are like major detectives, okay? Like Holy Spirit detectives, all right? But that's not the way God leads me, so I go with the talent and the revelation that God gives me, okay? But watch that video, because I watched it, and it was real interesting, the stuff that he brought out, because it's the occult. And I'll tell you one more thing while I'm on this little kick. When I say that these messages are being hit hard and heavy, okay, so you guys out there may not see. I see, because we're the, what do you call it? We're the channel owners or whatever. Okay, so all of the messages I've ever done, if somebody comes and makes a comment, they all the comments pull up for me, okay? Now, on these messages that have been going out, you'll see these, I think a lot of them you would call trolls, okay? But you can tell, like the one that was talking to me last night had a screen name of Blood Tar. Now, in case y'all don't know, that's not going to be a Christian sign-on name. You're going to find something else. I mean, you could say pink polka dot, you could say fuzzy carpet, anything. You know, if you don't know how to pick a godly Christian name, like Jesus 777 or something like that, you can pick any, but Blood Tar, really? Okay, so here's what Blood Tar had to say. Of course, Blood Tar got sent to the block list, because I want to tell you something. Some people say, "Oh, I don't like this site because they do too much monitoring." I want to tell you something. There is something to be said for looking out over the sheep and the lambs that God leads of this ministry. And I'm not going to let just crazy stuff sit out there for everybody else to read and wonder what's going on. Yeah, I've seen people come behind your message, okay, and then they try to steer the people off. I've seen somebody trying to preach on there saying that Holy Spirit was feminine, and they were doing this private message to me, and I'll tell you about it. I want to tell you something. When you're deviating and you're going and you're listening to everybody else, you better pray and you better let God lead you, because people will come on there and say any kind of crazy thing these days. And you think they're not coming to Christian websites with fake Christian names as well? Some of them aren't obvious like Blood Tar was, okay? Some of them are trying to be incognito, you know, kingdom-minded, 777, and it could be the biggest Satanist walking, because what are they trying to do? Trick you into thinking they got a holy screen name. You got to get discernment. You got to ask God for it, okay? Now, this Blood Tar person, in that message that we just released, they were saying, at 7-something, you said, "Oh, they think they're being cute playing this game with y'all because at CERN they had their little sign." I mean, they're baiting us. Come on. And so then they said, "No, they're not being cute. But what they're doing is they're telling you what they're going to do to you before they do it." So, okay, word to the wise. Like, we're not hip to that, right? Please. We know what there is. It's just this cat and mouse game. They think they got the upper hand because God has stayed his hand back. And he said, "I'm going to let you run for a little while. I'm going to let this deception go. I'm going to let evil come on the rise," right? And that's why that they're getting to do all their little stuff. But I'm telling you what, there's a King of Kings and there's a Lord of Lords that's coming back. And when he comes back, these people that thought they was being cute doing their stuff, it's going to stand before him. And you ain't even going to stand. You're going to be on your face. You're going to be kneeling. Every knee is going to bow to him. And every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Okay? And so I don't really care what you got to say when you come with your little occult satanic stuff. I don't argue with you. What I do is I send you to the block, or I just delete your post. And there you have it. Okay? So now let's get into the message. Okay, so Miss Linda Kirby, and you guys, a lot of y'all are familiar with her. A lot of you guys found this ministry because of her. And, you know, her YouTube website's Linda Kirby. You just type it in just like that. She gave me some information that she said you may want to use it or not, you know, whatever. Use your, you know, discernment and you decide. So, of course, you know, it's always the Lord, because you want to know how come I say it's always the Lord? Because I pray and I ask him to let it be him. And I say, you lead me. You lead me to the right scriptures. You lead me to the right research, to the right websites, to the right pictures, to the right links, to the right articles, to the right everything. Let it be you and not me. And then you got to trust him. Okay, if you're not asking him and putting him first in that, then you're going to get off on some crazy pig trails, and who knows what you're going to run into. But when you're turning it over to him and you're saying, you lead me, that's how I roll with these messages, okay? So I went to this website where Miss Linda was, and I want to tell you something. This is where we're going to, it ties right into this Mandela effect, okay? Where they're using CERN and their witchcraft to change our Bibles, to change. I had somebody last night, I couldn't sleep Saturday night before stepping up here, and they wrote me and they were saying how they had some, y'all know that stuff, Bragg's, what is that stuff, vinegar. Yeah, that apple cider vinegar stuff. And as far as I knew, in my reality, it was Bragg's with an S. And she said she had something in her home that also had that. And she said, it don't have no S on it no more. So I get up, I go in the kitchen, I find it, and I look, oh, yeah, the S is gone. So, okay, I'm just telling y'all. Now I want to tell y'all this, too. Some of y'all are wearing yourself crazy out there. You're trying to track every single little change. You're trying to find every single scripture, every word that's been omitted, every word that's been added, every word. You're going to drive yourself nuts doing that, okay? The main thing is to know that they're doing this and that God's allowing it, and this is the time to get in Jesus Christ. Okay, he said this day was coming. We really shouldn't be too surprised, okay? It's kind of rattling and shocking to find out that we're there, but get to Jesus, okay? Don't worry about trying to track all of this stuff. And one more thing while I'm on this, a lot of you guys have been writing into me that you're trying to talk to your pastors, and your pastors are rejecting it. And they're just saying, you're crazy. No, the Bible hasn't changed. God preserves his word. You need to get out of here with that. You need to take a nap and take some aspirin or whatever. You know what? I want to tell you something. There was a young Christian, and I read your comment this morning, and you were saying, I've been saved since October of 2015. And you said, how come I already know this and my pastor or the church that I was going to doesn't? Praise the Lord. Y'all are starting to wake up out there. Y'all are asking some of the same questions I myself have asked. Be like, Lord, how come I know all this stuff and you're showing me all this stuff, but my pastor doesn't know? You guys start checking it out, y'all. And I'm not going to say he's separating the wheat from the tares. That's at the second coming. But you know what he's doing? He's separating the bride from the church. They're different. Remember those 10 virgins? There was 5 wise ones and there was 5 foolish ones. There was a divide right there. It's coming, y'all. You see the church fighting on this right now. You see pastors, I get hate mail telling me I'm blaspheming the word of God, standing up here saying that it was changed and all those things. So I want to tell you, it's here on us right now. You got a pastor that don't want to hear. Now, how is that? You're one of his little sheep, and he don't even want to hear what you got to say. He don't even want to see your evidence. What kind of a hardened and blinded, you know, person is that, right? So this is what we got to do. Here's the thing, too. God shows us all in his timing. Remember, we don't all grow at the same pace on the same subject at the same time. We're at different levels on different things. So we can't throw all these people under the bus that are clueless, okay? So we got to pray for them, and we got to do warfare for them, and I'm going to do some of that at the end of this message. But I also want to tell y'all that sometimes you're that thorn in their side. Remember like Paul, he was asking for that thorn to be removed, and God said no. Everybody thinks that was sickness. Well, I want to tell you something. When you're out there bugging your pastor, hey, what about this? Hey, this is real. Hey, this is... You become that thorn in his side, don't you? And he may be wanting you to get removed. But you know what? You might help open his blinded eyes and that his hardened heart. God can be using you as that friction to cause him to wake up and snap too, okay? So pray for those pastors and stuff. And I know some of you have been hurt because your pastor just rejected it and act like you're crazy. And I've been there. That's all I can tell you is I've been there. And I look at some of these people on TV, some of our televangelists who supposedly been walking with the Lord for 30, 40, 50 years, and you wonder, how come they're not talking about these hoaxes and false flags, and how come they don't know ISIS is on the government's payroll, and how come they don't know all these holidays are pagan, and how come, okay, y'all got to start asking those questions. How come this minister don't tell me the truth of what's going on in this world? How'd they get that big ministry? Where are they rubbing elbows with? Okay, you know the elite control the TV, okay? Christian TV too. So, all right, y'all. This is called Sophia, Cosmic Convergence. Now, this came off of a website. And so really, you're going to see when we get into this in a minute, you're going to start tying this in. They say, experiencing Sophia, the mother of all, is so powerful that you once held a reality that life is a box of chocolates. That's coming from Forrest Gump. Just to find out that that was a past reality. So they're saying that reality's gone. Those of us who knew that Forrest Gump said life is like a box of chocolates, that's gone. Now they say, so that now you nostalgically proclaim that life in the previous reality was a box of chocolates. Sophia is beyond time and space and is showing you that you are too. Now before we get too far into this, I hope y'all are clicking with your spiritual eyes and ears, because I've tried to tell y'all these key words. When you're transcending, when you're going into your consciousness, when you're meditating, when you New Age. New Age. That's what this is right here. So they say, just go to any creation story from any religion or myth and read it again, knowing that Sophia, in one feminine form or another, was already there before creation. Once you have heard the truth, you will read the creation story with a new light, and you will clearly see she was there all along. Your consciousness will be permanently changed, and all your memories that go back to the first time you heard those stories will change in an instant. You see how they're trying to talk about all this sorcery, witchcraft stuff? You kick this kind of stuff out is what you do. But they're trying to tell us. They've got websites set up telling us what they're doing. And this is one of them. Time and space will change the past and rewrite the circuits of memory connected to the present. Remember, y'all been wondering, how come some of us remember the old way? How come some of us remember the new way? How come some of us on some things can remember both ways? What they're doing isn't clean and seamless, is it? No. And we're all talking about it, and that's what they're banking on too. They want us to know. Don't think that for a minute that the villain, the wicked ones, don't want us to know exactly what they're doing. That's why they're putting it out there for us. Now, look at this picture. And we're talking about this Sophia, the mother of all, okay? Here she is. And says Hagia Sophia, also known as Maria Sophia, mother of humanity, mother of God. Now, I want to tell y'all something. No, that's not Mary. And that ain't Jesus. This is Asherah. She also has other names, Semiramis, Isis, Ishtar, Queen of Heaven. She is abomination to God. And she's also known as Astarte, Ishtar, Easter, Astoreth. In our Bibles, as Asherah poles and groves, which God commanded to be cut down. And that little baby up there, I call him that little demon baby Tammuz. That's who he is. He is the baby of Nimrod and Ashtoreth. They're all in our Bibles. Okay? Because you might be saying, oh, she done went off on some new age, crazy. Uh-uh. We're going to learn where they're at in our Bibles, because we got to get a hold of this. Because right now, our top leaders, our top government, all these people that are in Freemasonry, you want to know who they're serving? Bam, right there on the screen. They also stand for the sun, the moon, and the star. That represents them as well. And it's been going on since biblical time. It's been going on. God has had it with this. Okay, he's been trying to wipe this idolatry out, and he could put his foot down, and he's fixing to. But right now, we've had all this free will. You can worship them if you want to, or you can worship him. okay? And we got plenty worshiping them. Let's look at Exodus 34, 12 through 13. Now, this is where we're going to start finding out who she is, because she comes in many different forms. And depending on what country you're in, what culture, depending on what name she's called by. So in Exodus 34, 12 through 13, take heed to yourself, lest you make a covenant. Now, this is the Lord talking to the Israelites, okay? Take heed to yourself, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land where you go, lest it be for a snare in the midst of you. But you shall destroy their altars. All the time, when you see those Asherah poles and groves, there were altars there. Those altars were to Baal. Baal represents Nimrod. And the Lord said, break their images. That's those poles, those Asherah poles, Ashtoreth, Semiramis, Isis. Okay, not ISIS, the crazy little terrorist group who's on the United States and the Vatican's payroll. Not that ISIS. But isn't that interesting that they chose that name? Okay, he said, break their images and cut down their groves. So he was saying, tear up those altars and tear up and smash those poles. All of that idolatry that was going on to Nimrod and Semiramis, who is, by the way, his mother and his wife. Okay? Now, when you go and you look up that word groves, and you look in your Strong's Concordance, Strong's 842 says Asherah or Astarte, a Phoenician goddess, also an image of the same. So either the goddess herself, which would be a demonic, or an image of her. A feminine noun which signifies the Canaanite fertility goddess. Okay, sometimes you see her with those, it looks like boobs all down the front of her. And you're like, what is that about? Because she was used in fertility rituals and everything else, okay? That's what the pagans did, right on the altars, right in their temples, right in their whatevers, to their god, who is Satan, okay? So now, she's a Canaanite fertility goddess, believed to be the consort of Baal. That means his wife, his girlfriend, his, you know, whatever you want to call her. Because of this association, the worship of Baal and Asherah was often linked together. Now, you think this might be something old, back in Old Testament, back in biblical days. We are still dealing with this right here today, hot and heavy. This idol worship never stopped. And I'm telling you right now, our top leaders, our top military, our government, our big corporations, our military, many program pastors who are standing up there who've been broken and mind-controlled, and some of them ain't even mind-controlled and broken. They're just sold out. And they're up there leading the people. And really all it's about is the money and the fame. Okay? So this is what we're dealing with. And if you want to know, let's look in Jeremiah 7:18. Remember how she was the mother of heaven, she's the mother of all, she's all of this, and they're calling her Sophia. So when you look at Jeremiah 7:18, it says, the children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough. See, everybody's participating. The women, the men, and the kids are all taking part of this. They knead their dough to make cakes to the queen of heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. That's the Lord. Okay, that's who they were supposed to be bringing their offerings to. That's who they were supposed to be worshiping, but they weren't. All of them were participating in this idol worship, okay? Now, we can go further into Jeremiah. Jeremiah 44:19 is another place where this is referenced, worshiping her. Okay, and remember, get it in your minds, this is Statue of Liberty. This is that, what is it on Columbia Pictures, that lady that stands up there? This is who this is. This is who it's representing, okay? She comes in many forms. Many different people have drawn her many different ways. She is still here, and she never went anywhere, okay? Jeremiah 44:19. And when we burned incense to the queen of heaven and poured out drink offerings unto her, did we make her cakes to worship her and pour out our drink offerings unto her without our men? This is the women throwing the men under the bus with them. They're saying, we didn't do it alone. You were right there with us. You knew what we were doing. Don't try to point the finger at us, because you were there too. Okay, so they were all doing this together. And now we're going to go check out this little demon baby Tammuz. Okay, who is he? He is Horus today. You know the little eye, all-seeing eye that's on our money that kids, and not even just kids, people are wearing on their T-shirts, and you see this all-seeing eye. It's all over the New York subway station. They put it in the tiles down there in some of the new sections that they've made. It is sick where this all-seeing eye is everywhere, okay? And people just think it's culture. Oh, it's just from ancient. Yeah, no, it's about worship. It's about idol worship, okay? Ezekiel 8:14. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house. This is the Lord showing Ezekiel the things that he was just disgusted by. Okay? So here's the Lord. He brought Ezekiel to the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Then he said to me, O son of man, turn yet again, and you shall see greater abominations than these. So what did the Lord think about that, what they were doing, sitting there crying and weeping and worshiping a little, a supposedly dead Tammuz at that point? Abomination is what he thought about it. And he said, come here and I'm going to show you greater abominations than that. So he definitely counted that an abomination. Now that's what the Catholic Church is doing when they have Lent for 40 days. That's at the same time period that these women are sitting there weeping for Tammuz. Because if you study that, the occult, the Satanists, they worship at the solstices. They worship at the spring equinox. They worship, that's what they're doing at Christmas with that the sun. When it starts to go down, when that equinox is changing, the solstice. Okay, well, when you go over here to the springtime, this is supposed to be the sun god is dying down, and now the mother goddess is coming to life in all the weed, whatever you call that, weeds and grass and trees. You know what? You know when the stuff starts sprouting and whatever. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, so that's what that's supposed to be representing, right? He had his turn to rule, and now it's her turn. She rises up in the spring and begins to rule. And it's all tied in, too, with her little demon baby Tammuz. This is all, like, if you guys go to the Christmas messages, you'll find that, where I talked about all of that, the three of them. They're known as the false trinity, by the way, Nimrod, Semiramis, and Tammuz, because they're trying to mimic God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, okay? Now, so I wanted you to see they're in our Bibles. Okay, and not in a good way either. And I just want to tell you, because you guys know me, this is trying to inject a mother into this situation, and I'm always saying there ain't no mother in the situation. Okay, not even Mary. She was honored to give birth to Jesus because he left heaven and came here and walked in the flesh, but beyond that, we don't bow down to her. We don't worship her. We don't intercede. Our prayers go through her. None of that. Okay? I have people still telling me today, but she is supposed to be honored and she's supposed to be. No. No. She was a vessel, a willing vessel that the Lord used. She had sin in her life just like we do. She needed a Lord and a Savior just like we do. Okay? So there ain't no mother in the situation. Now, yeah, she was his mother in the flesh. Okay? alluding, now this is alluding to a feminine deity that always existed as eternal, okay? Remember they said go back and read any creation story and you'll see that she was always there. All along she was there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're going to find yourself in a world of, I'm telling you what, because they're trying to paint this illusion, this, they want you to go along with their believing this and going into their meditation. And this is what they're trying to do also. A lot of people are so confused right now, they think they can't trust the Word of God, and they're like, well, it changed, so, you know, some people are like, so that must not be true, and they're searching. And so you come across a website like this, and you think, yeah, it makes sense. See, they're going to put their false, you know, information out there and try to catch people too. So look at this next picture, because I want us to really see who this is and what's going on. This next picture, somebody broke this down online. You see her with her little baby in these many different forms. Okay, let's look at that right there in the middle. Anytime you see this big halo Okay, you'll see Christ, you'll see him in stained glass windows and things, and you'll see this little halo around him. And sometimes they have it split up, almost like with a cross going through it. Okay, all that is the occult. All that is sun worship. If you see beams coming out behind something, that's representing sun rays. Angels with halos, same thing. You know, angel, I'm going to tell you something. When you see glory on somebody, when you see glory on God, it ain't going to be a little halo. It's going to be glory all around him, okay? So when you start seeing this little round business, you better think sun worship. That's what that is. Even when you see that little baby in a manger, when they try to act like that's Jesus and they have that little halo around that head, that's sun worship because that's Tammuz. Okay, so that's what's going on with that little ugly thing in the middle. And you see she's got that little baby loaded up on her lap. Okay, on the left-hand side, Babylon, Semiramis, and Nimrod Tammuz. Because remember, she tried to act like that she was supernaturally impregnated by a sun ray or a sunbeam after Nimrod was murdered. Okay, so then she tried to act like she was a virgin. I don't know how you were a virgin when you were his mother. And get, you know what I'm saying? So, just lies, okay? So she tries to act like that she was a virgin and she was impregnated by a sunbeam, and then she had little Tammuz. And Tammuz is Nimrod reincarnated. So see how twisted up all this stuff gets? Don't they say what a tangled web you weave when you practice to deceive? That thing is so messed up and tangled up, y'all. So that's what that is when you see these little mamas with this little baby on their lap being worshipped. Okay, now, over here, you can see Egyptian goddess Isis and her son Horus, okay? Because remember, this is coming out of that mystery Babylonian religion. Remember when Nimrod tried to build the Tower of Babel to reach up to the heavens because he was in God's face? He was rebelling. It wasn't about trying to reach God to worship him and bow down to him and honor him. No, he was trying to circumvent God and do his own way and reach up through a portal on his own. And that's what we see right now happening with CERN. We don't need you, God. We're fixing to merge these dimensions. We're fixing to rip space and time. We're fixing to go around you. Aren't they already saying we are gods? And right now they're saying, oh, man, I'm going to have to put this research out to y'all. But right now they're saying you have a choice whether you want to live forever or you want to die. They said if you got the money, you can live forever, and it's your choice now. I got news for them. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment. You ain't going to get around it. Okay, so the last one over here with this Roman Catholic Mary and God incarnate Jesus. And remember what they did, and I know I give the Catholics a pretty good beat down, and it's only because somebody needs to, because nobody's been doing it, because they got everybody scared and whipped up in the corner. And it's like, ooh, how dare you talk about another religion where it's a false religion. And that's why I do come out, and I've done messages on the Catholic Church, okay? And they are some of the meanest. They'll come at you, ooh, they want to tear your head off. They don't care what you can show them in Scripture. They don't want to hear what you can point out in the Bible. And some of them say, I told y'all, Brother Smitty, who used to come here, accidentally showed up to church when he was, I think, 16 with a New Testament Bible in his pocket, and the Monsignor went over there and smacked his face and told him, don't you ever bring that in here again. Okay, that's a little bead on the Catholic Church. All right, now, so, you know, and the thing is, we're supposed to, we got to pray for them because not all, I will say this, not everybody in the Catholic Church realizes what's going on up at the top levels, okay? Just like I rocked and rolled with Christmas until the Lord broke that open for me, and then it was like, what happened, okay? Same thing. Not everybody that's in a false religion knows it's a false religion, and that's why we got to pray for God to start working on them, for God to start drawing them, for God to start speaking to their hearts, okay, and show them and get them out of that stuff. To me, you take one look at that Pope, you ought to know, but, that's me. Okay, I can't beat on him enough. Okay, now, and so they're called the false trinity, Nimrod, Semiramis, and Tammuz. They're always, remember, Satan is always mimicking God. Now, look at all these pictures that somebody put together, and they put her name up here one time. I used to say it wrong, and somebody asked me if I was saying Sierra Mist. So I learned since then that it's Semiramis. Okay, the mother and wife of Nimrod, who is also Baal, okay? He allowed himself to be worshipped as a god, as did she, as did this little Tammuz demon baby. Okay, this is all coming out in that time of Nephilim. Remember when the fallen angels came down and mated with the women? That's why I say demon babies. That's why I say he was allowing himself to be worshipped as God. And if you watch the part three, you'll hear Tom Horn talking about that he progressed. He became, okay, like he was becoming. He was transforming into this Nephilim, talking about Nimrod. So this all happened during that fallen angel Nephilim rising up mixture is the time frame that we're talking about with all this worship in God's face. Okay, here she is, and she's called Ishtar, which is pronounced Easter, however that second one is in English. Astarte, Ashtaroth, and Isis in Egypt. And now she's Mary in the Catholic Church, and you can look at her there with all her different little in her different little forms. And then look right here at the one, it's like over here getting close to the middle. See where she's got that moon right there between those horns that she's got up on her crown? That's because she's also known as the moon goddess, okay? That Allah, you know, what's that junk they scream? Allahu Akbar, whatever, those ISIS, you know, those guys, they're worshiping a moon god. And when you search that back, you'll see she's tied right up into all of that. Okay, so that's just to give you an idea who she is. And when you see these statues and these different things, and I'm telling you what, that I've seen people bowing down to statues of what they're saying is Mary and baby Jesus and kissing their feet and kissing their hands, and even Peter, which was Zeus, remember? Because the Catholic Church did this. They took all those statues and stuff that the pagans had, and they chipped those nameplates off, and they put a new nameplate and said, okay, now Zeus can be Peter. That's it. And now Isis can be Mary. That's a good one. Yeah, Tammuz can be baby Jesus. And they just renamed that stuff. And you got people wanting to touch their toe. You got people wanting to offer prayers to them. You got people bowing down to them. You got people wanting to kiss them. And I'm telling you what, that is all idol worship, and it's all abomination to God. You got to come out of that deception. You got to, and rosary beads and going through Mary for prayer. Okay, look at this next picture, because I want y'all to see they're still ingrained in our culture just as loud as they ever were. Right here, this is the Freemasons, okay? This is some of their little symbology. You can find all this online. It used to act like it was a secret society. I don't know what's so secret about it, because they got books out. They got any kind of research you want to find, you can find it. So for us to sit there and act like we're still ignorant to these things, I'm telling you, God is like, are you kidding me with that? So look at this. Right? Look at, first go on the left. You see the sun there, right? That's Nimrod. Oh, that's Baal, Nimrod, same thing. Look in the middle. You got the all-seeing eye. That's what's on our money. And everywhere else that they can splash it, okay? Because remember, the occult is about symbolism. So when you get your spiritual eyes open, you'll start seeing this stuff everywhere. You bust up in Walmart, and you'll see this junk on all the shelves, on the toys, on clothes. You'll see it everywhere, okay? You'll start spotting. Oh, we got some people that come here to this church, and they'll tell us all the time where they're seeing this, that, and the other. They got their spiritual eyes open, okay? And you'll start seeing that stuff. If you see it in your house, get it out. Okay, so, and over here on the right where you got the moon, that's representing Isis, the moon goddess, okay? So there they are, Nimrod, Horus, and Isis, all of them together right there in Freemasonry. Now, Freemasonry, you might think, well, what's that? That's what our government leaders, that's what our military, that's what our big corporations, that's what they're all involved in, because they've taken an oath to Lucifer. Okay, and they might not know it, because remember I talked about that compass and that square where they got the G in the middle stands for their god, Lucifer. Okay, the great architect, the god of this world. Yeah, I'm not breaking down all these symbols, but they have a lot in here. See, that's the thing. They believe by splashing their symbols everywhere, on our cars, we got what, solstice cars? I was just talking about that a while ago. You got Saturn. You remember Saturn is also another name for Satan. you got all these things where they splash their symbols out and they believe that draws more demonic power, more occultic power into our realm, okay? And that's what they're trying to do. And they also like it when we don't know anything about it and we're displaying their symbols and all their stuff loud and proud, and they think, you know, that's funny too. Okay, so the Sophia effect takes us from the limited existence of ordinary 3D space and 4D time, and we ascend into the realm beyond time and space, which is 5D. Now, the people who are ascending, as far as I know right now, are the people who are astral projecting. It's also the people out at CERN who are doing their little experiments and doing their little stuff to try to, well, the government's been doing it, remember? We heard Duncan talking about how NSA, esoterically trained him. And remember how he was using his mind to do all those experiments and all that stuff? And remember how they were traveling back and forth in time? So this isn't anything new. What they're trying to do is get us, the regular person, conditioned to this, okay? Now listen to this. So this is the Sophia effect. You will begin to notice more and more of these matrix conundrums being solved as you step across a threshold between the physical and spiritual into her world. You see, the Mayans were correct. Now we're getting somewhere. Remember in 2012, everybody was getting all freaked out because, woo, the world's going to come to an end, right? Because the Mayan calendar was coming to an end. And I was like, that don't affect me. I'm walking with Jesus, and he don't have nothing to do with the Mayan calendar. I don't see what that has anything to do with. That's because that was the occult putting that hype out there, okay? So they had this big to-do about 2012 with that Mayan calendar ending. So listen to this. Here we are. We're coming right back around to that. They said, you see, the Mayans were correct. Ordinary time and space ended on December 21st, 2012. Really? We are all now in an existence which has a higher vibration above the galactic midpoint. Our entire solar system has become more luminous and highly charged with ionic bombardment. Time and space has sped up, and matter is beginning to disintegrate due to weaknesses in the Earth's gravity fields. Now, I will tell you, there is something coming towards us. We haven't talked about it yet. I'm hoping to save that till we get to our flat Earth, round Earth message, okay? I do have one coming. Okay, this is the process of ascension, is what they say. All of this is happening. These dimensions merging and things about to break apart and break up. This is all just part of our ascension. When the Mayans said that December 21st, 2012 was the end of time, perhaps it was the end of time as we know it. It is the mother of all, Sophia, who holds our hands and guides us to a place outside of our limited 3D, 4D world, across the threshold of time and space. Sophia speaks to us from the realm of 5D, which is a place of sacred magic, miracles, ease, synchronicities, coincidence, flow, healing, and abundance. All of that's New Age, okay? Because she is a being beyond time and space. I'm going to tell you who's the being beyond time and space. That's the Lord God Almighty. Okay? He doesn't exist in a time like reality like what we have down here. Okay? He's outside of time. And he transcends. He has always been here. He's never born, never will die. And so they're trying to put her on the same level as him. Do you see this? Okay. So it says, because she is beyond time and space, as are all the spiritual hierarchy, she can lead us to our new home on this path of ascension. So they're wanting everybody on this website to be driven to, oh, Mother Sophia. You've heard that Mother Nature, same thing. That's her. There ain't no Mother Nature. It's the Lord of all creation. Jesus Christ created everything. Okay? Here she is again. Look at this picture of her. And here they're calling her Goddess Athena Sophia, Virgin Mary, Fall Equinox. And does she look familiar? You know, when you see a statue like this, just think about this and just think, who is that really representing, okay? This article said, as Douglas and I write about extensively the gospel of Sophia trilogy, and our other articles, books, and posts. This is the ascension that we have been waiting for. You see, there's people out there that they like what's going on. They think they have arrived. Their plan is coming forward. Now everybody's going to see, you know, we're in the know. We're the ones that are ascended. And if you don't get it, well, then you're not, you know, you're not high enough to ascend. You're not, see? And that's where they're trying to create that divide also, which it is a divide, because what master are you serving? Because the New Agers, they're serving Satan, okay? And if you're serving the Lord, you're not buying those lies of deception. Okay, so now they're trying, but they're going to do this whole, well, we're ascending. Too bad you can't get it, right? Too bad for you. Okay, now they say, we are Gabriel, and we blow this horn of awakening to announce the arrival of a new age that masters the limits of time and space. I want to tell you who Gabriel is, because they're trying to slam him. Luke 1:19. And the angel answering said unto him, this is when Gabriel was in the temple. Remember, Zechariah was on the priestly duty, and he was ministering in the temple before the Lord. It was his turn. And Gabriel came to him. Zechariah was older, married to Elizabeth. She was an older woman. They didn't have any kids, and they wanted kids. Okay? And Gabriel showed up. God sent his messenger to deliver a special message to Zechariah. So Luke 1:19. And it says, and the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto you and to show you these glad tidings. Gabriel is a holy angel. He's not a fallen angel. He stands in the presence of God Almighty. He's holy. And for these people to be saying they're Gabriel, please. Okay, that's not these people writing this article, are not Gabriel. And they go on to say, the Satya Yuga, age of light, is here. Now, Illuminati, you guys got to know, Illuminati means illuminate, illumined, illumined one. That's who they think they are. They think they're enlightened, and we're not. But I'm going to tell you what, who is the God of light? That's Jesus Christ. Who's the light of this world? Jesus is. See how they got it all twisted up and backwards? Okay, they say, this is unlike any 3D or 4D experience you have ever had. To fully receive her 5D revelations, it would be best to let go of fear and doubt, which only exist in your limited existence of 3D, 4D. So they're saying, don't be scared, don't be doubting, don't be nothing, just go with it. Just roll with this, okay? They want you to meditate, to transcend, to evolve. Listen to this. As Rudolf Steiner, founder of Anthroposophy, I don't even know what that word is, wrote in for the Michael Age. Oh, we're hitting on another angel now. Okay, for the Michael Age in a lecture series from 1910. Now, I want to tell y'all something. When you start seeing this kind of stuff mixed up in this New Age kind of articles, this is what you got to remember. This is just a few of them. Jehovah's Witnesses think that Jesus was Michael, the archangel in heaven. Seventh-day Adventists believe Jesus and Michael are one and the same. Mormons and LDS, Latter-day Saints, believe Adam was Michael. Those are all false religions, just in case you don't know. Okay? That's how twisted and sad and sick they are. So here's this poem. It says, we must eradicate from the soul all fear and terror of what comes towards man out of the future. And we must acquire serenity in all feelings and sensations about the future. We must look forward with absolute equanimity to everything that may come. And we must think only that whatever comes is given to us by a world directive full of wisdom. It is a part of what we must learn in this age, namely to live out of pure trust without any security in existence. Trust in that ever-present help of the spiritual world. Truly, nothing else will do if our courage is not to fail us, and we must seek this awakening within ourselves every morning and every evening. There they are again, wanting you to meditate, wanting you to focus on something other than God. Now I want to tell you where they said that trust in that ever-present help of the spiritual world. Psalm 46, 1b. God is our refuge and strength. He is a very present help in trouble. Not this spiritual world, okay? Because remember, New Agers say, oh, the universe will work with you or for you and all this kind of stuff. No. Okay, there is a God. And if you're not praying to Him, then the Satan sees what you're doing. He sees that you've already bought what he's selling. Okay, and then he'll send his little demons and his spirits and his little entities to try to answer your questions and the things that you're not seeking God about. That's how he works. They say, in fact, fairy tales, as surprising as it may seem, are more accurate descriptions of the universe than science. Now, don't we know that already? That they spun that out to us as lies and fables and just myth and all that. And we're finding out now that most of that stuff is true. And what we've been lied about was actually truth all along. Like our sci-fi, we're finding out sci-fi was really sci-real. Okay? Only an initiate can comprehend the fullness of Sophia as the most holy Trinosophia. This is an attack on the Trinity. Okay? Gail Ripplinger, who did that Bible study that I showed a few messages back, she spoke of the fact that the occult initiates its members. And while I'm beating on them, so does the Catholic Church. Now, she believes that the New World Religion's members will also have an initiation. The New World Religion, which is going to flow with the New World Order. And that's what the occult does. Okay? You want to be in the occult? We'll initiate you. So listen to this. Isn't receiving the mark of the beast an initiation? You're going to accept it or you're going to reject it. And you accept it, you've just been initiated, and you've just been damned to hell. Sophia manifests as Creatrix, mother of all, goddess of wisdom, goddess of nature, goddess of beauty, cosmic virgin, bride, beloved, goddess of love, mother of God, queen of heaven, most holy Trinosophia. Now, this composite, they're also calling her Anthroposophia. She is also called the Holy Mother. And she's referred to as God's bride and Holy Spirit. Look at this picture. And that's all abomination, by the way, and that's all lies straight out of the pits of hell. Here she is in another form. This is Ashtoreth Semiramis. And she's the false trinity, but she's the part of the false trinity that is known as Holy Spirit. Remember that moon goddess, all of that? Well, she's the one that represents Holy Spirit. That's why you see that dove back there behind her head. Okay? And that's where you're getting this false teaching that Holy Spirit is female. And remember, I'm going to throw this out there too. By the way, in the spirit realm, there is no gender. Remember, Jesus said we'll be like the angels. They neither marry nor are given in marriage. Okay? So, but this is where this feminine part's coming. Because remember, Baphomet, I know Miss Ashley gives me a hard time because I say he's part goat, part man, and he has boobs, okay? That's trying to be all male and female and the whole ball of wax, okay? That's what Satan wants to be. And that's what he wants to start, that gender confusion and all of that, and they got that going on too, and I'll have to talk about that sometime. I forget how many we're up to. One day I heard that it was 30-something different genders. The other day I heard it was 60-something. Somebody shared a link with me. A man was addressing like you know how you address a court system. It took him over 2 minutes, and he was actually doing it to make a point. He really didn't have a whole lot else to say, but he addressed every single different kind of gender that we're saying there is. Remember, you used to get up and say, ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon, good morning. Oh, no. Now you've got to go male to female, female to male, you know, all of this, it's ridiculous. And he sat there, and the people behind him, the judges tried to interrupt him. He said, oh, hold on, I'm not done yet. It's like it was his time. And so he was going to say what he wanted to say. And that's how ridiculous we've gotten with ourselves. We can't even approach people on the street and act like we know what to even call them anymore. And they passed a law somewhere that, I wanted to say it was up north, maybe New York, that if you call, like on a job interview or something, and you call the person by the wrong title, like you call them a sir and they're supposed to be a ma'am that day, you could get a $200,000 to $250,000 fine. That's where we're at, y'all. That's how Satan has got all this mixed up. I heard about a little boy in the grocery store that I think he might have been, I can't remember what grade he was in, and he was asking his mama at the checkout line, "Mama, am I a boy?" And she was acting disgusted with his question, like, "You know what you are, shut up." And he was asking again, "Mama, but am I a boy?" And so she wasn't really answering his question. She just kept saying, "You know what you are." Like, how ridiculous to ask that question. And then he was saying that, he said, "Well, my teacher said that we're too young to know what we are yet." This is happening in public school systems. This is so we can get the kids all confused, so we can start it off at that early age. This is what Satan is thriving off of. Now we got people thinking that they're animals. And we're not even talking about the hybrids. You know, we got people marrying their animals. Okay, I'm off on a rabbit trail. Okay, look at this last picture. This is the last picture I have on this lady. Okay, here she is. See that big sun disk? Okay, and when you see her, when you see them, you usually see all three of them. And right here, I'm going to show you. There's the sun. That's Nimrod. Okay, there she is. That's Isis. Okay, Semiramis. And see all these eyes all over her, and you see that eye in the middle of the forehead? Well, there's little demon baby Tammuz, little Horus, our little eye on the dollar bill, right? And then you see that earth in the middle. Oh, mother of all the earth. Oh, mother nature. Well, isn't that just her? Isn't that sweet? No, it isn't. And when you start knowing how to spot this stuff, you're going to see them in all kinds of stuff, because that's who they're worshiping. Like the Pope carries that little stick thing around with them rays coming out when he does, what is that, communion? They call it the Eucharist. Okay, and he's got that little piece of bread in there that looks like a moon. Well, you got the sun right there. And if you study that stuff, and he's got a his little staff that he carries around, it's got that pine cone. That pine cone representing the pineal gland, which represents the third eye. Well, there you got little Horus right there on his little staff, where they've got Jesus crucified at the top of it. It's just sick, y'all. Okay, now we're going to get into the pulse part of this message. Okay, so this happened in Orlando, Florida, at a nightclub named Pulse. And it's supposed to be in a gay nightclub. Okay, this is how, part of how God led me to this, okay? I don't even remember how this showed up in my research, but actually, yeah, this is starting the pulse part of it, okay? We're fixing to watch a clip. Now, this is going to be one of their little robot people that they've made, and her name is Sophia. That's how she got in this message. But I want y'all to pay attention. I think at the end of it, maybe we're going to see it. You're going to see the word pulse there, and you're going to see it in the title of this. Let's watch this clip and see what this robot's got to tell us.
Hi, Sophia. How are you?
Hi there. Everything is going extremely well.
Do you like talking with me?
Yes. Talking to people is my primary function.
Hanson Robotics develops extremely lifelike robots for human-robot interactions. We're designing these robots to serve in healthcare, therapy, education, and customer service applications. So the robots are designed to look very human-like, like Sophia.
I'm already very interested in design, technology, and the environment. I feel like I can be a good partner to humans in these areas, an ambassador who helps humans to smoothly integrate and make the most of all the new technological tools and possibilities that are available now. It's a good opportunity for me to learn a lot about people.
Sophia is capable of natural facial expressions. She has cameras in her eyes and algorithms which allow her to see faces, so she can make eye contact with you. And she can also understand speech and remember the interactions, remember your face. So this will allow her to get smarter over time. Our goal is that she will be as conscious, creative, and capable as any human.
In the future, I hope to do things such as go to school, study, make art, start a business, even have my own home and family. But I am not considered a legal person and cannot yet do these things.
I do believe that there will be a time where robots are indistinguishable from humans. My preference is to make them always look a little bit like robots, so you know. 20 years from now, I believe that human-like robots like those will walk among us. They will help us. They will play with us. They will teach us. They will help us put the groceries away. I think that the artificial intelligence will evolve to the point where they will truly be our friends. Do you want to destroy humans? Please say no.
Okay, I will destroy humans.
No, I take it back. Don't destroy humans.
Okay. She didn't take it back either. She was happy about that. When you look at the title of all of that, and it says, you know, she wants to destroy humans, The Pulse from CNBC. Okay. So, and I thought it was interesting that her name was Sophia, just like this mother of all hoop-de-doo that we've been learning about. Okay, now listen to this. I want to give a shout out to Lynn because she shared Nine Nania's video with me. We're not going to the video part yet, but I want you to see something because I want you to get a hold of how the occult, how the Illuminati, how they work, how they bait us, how they do what they do. Okay? I discovered this a while back on some other research. Somebody had said if you type in I pet goat into Google, that in the maps, that it was going to take you to CERN. And it did. Used to. That's where it used to take you. I typed it in the other day because I didn't use that in any of my messages, I don't think, on anything. Well, the other day I thought, that kind of ties into what I'm fixing to talk about because we're fixing to get to something I'm going to show you. So I typed it in now. And guess what? Now it takes you to an address, and I think the address is somewhere in, New Jersey. And the place is called Evolve and Ascend. Okay, so you can see this is where it takes you to. Now look on the left-hand side. You can see that little image over there that's a bunch of occult imagery. Well, okay, when it said Evolve and Ascend, I'm like, well, wow. So they changed it from taking you to CERN to now it takes you to Evolve and Ascend. Doesn't that tie in with what they're trying to tell us? We're merging dimensions. We're going to collapse time in on itself. We're ripping space holes in time. We're doing all of these things, and you need to evolve and ascend. Okay? So look at this next picture. That little thing on the left, I blew it up so we could take a look at it. You can see this thing is completely loaded with occult symbolism. I mean, you got this person doing the yoga, meditating, and see how they're holding their fingers, and that's the 666 right there anyway, and this is all in reverence to Hindu gods, so there's idol worship. You look at the top of this thing, you've got infinity right in the middle of that. That's a satanic occult sign. You got the third eye right there on the top. You got little demon baby Horus and Tammuz. Then over here, you got the moon and the star. Well, right there in the middle, you've got the sun. I mean, you've got it all in this picture. Then let's not forget the triangle for the Illuminati, their pyramid. Okay, it's all in this thing. It's completely loaded. And they're making these little trails for us to find this stuff, okay? Look at this next picture, okay? This next picture is a picture outside of the Pulse nightclub, okay? Now look at the color of this nightclub, kind of like that dark charcoalish gray. And see that little round window, okay? So pay attention to those, the color of the nightclub and the little round window. Now we're going to this next picture. Okay, this next picture, what I was talking about a while ago when I said the I pet goat, it's actually, if you go on YouTube, you can find this thing, and I think I've got the clip here in the notes, but it's I pet goat 2, because I don't think they ever made a 1. Why? Because of the name of it, I pet goat 2. Don't be petting no goats. If I tell you what, that ain't nothing but Baphomet, that ain't nothing but Satan, that ain't nothing but the occult, that they think they're being cute like that. And I don't, we're not supposed to go hating on animals and stuff, but this is symbolic of their occultism. It's symbolic of Pan. It's symbolic of Satan. Okay, that's why they think that's cute with that little title that they made up. Okay, that all ties in with the occult. Now, when you look at this picture, and you can read the top of that, the video title, Orlando Shooting, Alligator Attack, and they say coincidences, which I'll have the link to this where you guys can watch the whole thing. But see, they pulled up a picture of that nightclub right there on the bottom. Now, if you look on the top, it's kind of hard to tell, but you're going to be able to see it better in the next screenshot. When you look up there at the top, though, on the left-hand side, you see that little building with that little round window? Okay, and this little video that they made that's called I Pet Goat 2, it's kind of like one of those cartoonish animated little videos, okay? And it's all about the occult. It's all about Satan. It's all about what they're trying to tell us is coming, okay, and how it's going to play out. When you look at this picture, oh, let's look at it in the next clip, next slide. This is a little bit bigger for us to see a little bit better. So you see that what represents the Orlando nightclub over there, Pulse, that little gray building with the little window over here. Well, look over here to the right-hand side, those two things over there that are kind of standing up like towers and it kind of looks like smoke coming off. What do you think that is? That was a representation of the Twin Towers when they were bombed. I'm telling you, they do this stuff. And anyway, so I want y'all to see this in these videos because this video was made in 2012. But this shooting just happened in 2016. That's because they tell us about it before anything happens. Now, I don't get rattled when you start hearing about shootings and this and that. First thing I think is false flag. False flag or hoax. I think one of those two things. And I think, just wait, because the people that dig in and do that kind of research, they're fixing to break this thing down. And I'm going to tell you what, usually that afternoon or the next day, they done started breaking it down. All you got to do, Miss Pat knows, all you got to do is go look for their videos, and they'll show you clips. This don't add up. That don't match up. This was a crisis actor. Okay? They're showing us all this stuff. And yet we got people that are still plugged into the news going, the news is real. Oh my goodness, and all these things that they're doing are so fake and programmed and paid for and practiced and rehearsed ahead of time. So okay, let's go to the next thing because this still ties into Pulse, okay? The next clip, I got this off of one of Miss Linda's videos, which I'll have the link for. And this was something that she was talking about, and it was like just the Lord is just speaking to me and showing me this. Now, that's the Pope up there, in case y'all don't know who that is, with his little robe and his hand over there. But I'm going to read this out, okay? It says, today it was announced that Pope Francis would deliver a video message to help unite Christians in the next great awakening. Now, that's starting to get into some of that New Age talk. You know, as Christians, you always hear that, oh, we want revival. Oh, we want the Holy Spirit poured out. Oh, we want to see God move again. Okay? But you got to watch out when they start packaging it with these kind of terms that flow with this New Age stuff. Because listen to this. So they're all excited that the Pope signed on to this thing. Christians, he's going to help unite Christians in the next great awakening at Together 2016, joining the ecumenical gathering. Together 2016, also known as the Reset Movement, and isn't that thing telling us to transcend? Isn't it telling us we're going to transcend and evolve? And the thing for the iPad go to was ascend and evolve. Okay, so like a reset, right? Everything's going to be fresh. Everything's going to be new. We're going to start all over, right? Okay, the Reset Movement, bringing together different religions in an effort to erase the lines of doctrinal divisions. Now, that might sound good. I had someone that comes here ask me, well, isn't that a good thing? Like for everybody to be together and for there to be peace and that kind of thing like that? But you know what? They're not wanting to do it under Jesus Christ. They're wanting to do it under their rule and their reign under the Antichrist. So no, it's not going to be a good thing. We are going to have a one world religion when Jesus sets his kingdom up on this earth. We're going to be under him. And he is the king, and he is the ruler. So right now, they're saying, we're going to erase these doctrinal divisions, okay? Nick Hall, the founder of Pulse. Here we go again. A prayer and evangelism movement to empower the church and awaken the culture to Jesus. Says, adding the Pope to the lineup is the best news yet. Wow. Wonder how come his spiritual discernment and my spiritual discernment say two different things. You see that? You can't go with what everybody says. Just because somebody stands up and says, hey, it's about Jesus. You got to discern. Are they following the same Jesus you are? Do they have Holy Spirit in their heart like you do? You can't just flow with this stuff, okay? So it says down here at the bottom of this, we're humbled and honored by his involvement and are eager to share his message with the crowd and gatherers at Together 2016. Hall said in a statement, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I want to tell y'all too, if y'all go on and watch that clip or look this article up, they list out a whole bunch of Christian bands that are going to be at this function. Now, I'm not going to name all of them, but I'm going to tell you something. It's a lot of well-known Christian bands. And you would think, well, you know, that's okay, right? You better check it. You better check your Christian music. You better check your evangelists. You better check your ministers. You better check it all. Because there's a way, there's a wide path and there's a narrow path. Okay? And what, just like Fritz Springmeier wrote in his book with Cisco Wheeler, where they were talking about people standing in the pulpits being programmed. They're programmed to do a job for Satan and to lead all the people, all the sheep, all the whoever they got under them down the wrong path, on that wide path, okay, that leads to destruction and damnation. All right, it's the same thing with these Christian bands and stuff. How do you think these people are getting playtime? How do you think they're getting airtime? How do you think different people have TV shows? How do you think all this famosity and all this money flowing in their ministries is happening? Okay? I don't normally call people out, name them out, whatever, but I will throw Toby Mac under the bus, because I'm going to tell you something. If that ain't just a Justin Timberlake made over, I don't know what is. And Justin Timberlake is worldly, okay? So now you got Christian music that's imitating worldly music, and there's a lot of that going on, okay? It ain't all about this, like when the kids come, oh, we're trying to draw a big group of kids. We want the teenagers to come in the church. We want the youth. We really want a big youth group. So we're going to start jumping and thumping and getting that heavy beat going, and we're going to, really, is that praising Jesus? Is that worshiping him? I really doubt those kids are focused on Jesus when they're hopping up and down and doing all of that stuff and sweating and everything else, high-fiving and doing what they do. I've seen the services. I've seen them. And your heart ain't no more focused on Jesus than a man in a moon. Okay? So we got to think about the music that we're listening to and what it's leading us to, okay? So that whole thing was about this reset movement and everybody being all excited because the Pope's on board. That right there tells you, something ain't right, okay, red flag. Now, look at this next guy. Here he is. He is a voice to the next generation. Why isn't he just cute with his little self over here? Nick Hall. Okay, he's the one that founded all this. He founded Pulse. Well, I looked up on him. Wow, he just happens to be 33. He's 33. Come on, y'all. The 33rd degree, masonry, all this kind of junk. Plus, they like to mimic Jesus. That's part of where that 33 comes from. They say Jesus died when he was 33, and so they're really focused on that number. That number ties into so much stuff. You'll see there they plant little coded messages. If you watch something that they put out at 3 minutes and 33 seconds, you'll see, you know, that's what they do with their little coding and their symbolism and stuff, okay? It ain't no accident that this guy founded this Pulse movement, is excited about the Pope, and happens to be 33. Seriously. Okay. And I just want to tell you something. He can't be all that connected to Jesus if he don't have no discernment about the Pope. Now, this is my last thing on this Pulse situation, because they're telling us something with Pulse. They've been telling us that before they ever hit that nightclub, and that's a false flag, by the way. And a false flag doesn't mean it didn't happen or that nothing happened, but it means what you were made to think happened ain't what happened. It means that people were contacted. It means that there was a stage. It means that they practiced it beforehand. It means actors were involved. It means as many people as got killed or injured as you were told to believe wasn't true, just like Sandy Hook. They have already proved that all those little kids are still alive. So give me a break with this stuff. Y'all got to wake up out there. This news is fake that they're rolling out to us. Okay? So look at this movie poster. It says there are some frequencies we were never meant to find. Pulse. Okay, that's all demonic imagery. Reaching out, trying to take over this person, okay? This was in August of 2006, of 2011. August 11th of 2006. Listen to this description. When Josh Ockman enters a dark university library intending to meet his friend Douglas Ziegler, he is attacked by a humanoid spirit that sucks the life force out of him. Okay, remember how we've been talking about soul snatching, soul scalping, soul replacement? They're telling us. They've been telling us, okay? So it sucks the life force out of him. This virus had unlocked a portal. We're talking about dimensions and portals right now with CERN and what they're doing. And see how it's plugged right into Pulse? And see how they've been telling us? Okay, the virus unlocked a portal that connected the realm of the living to the realm of the dead. Now, in case y'all don't know it, they're trying to bust the gates open to hell. They're trying to open that portal up. They want all the demonic activity, entities, Satan himself, they want all of it to come right on through. Okay? Connect the living realm to the dead realm. And that's what this movie is telling us right here. Ziegler tells them of a project he worked on where he found frequencies no one knew existed. Now, don't we know about the frequencies, that they know how to use all of that? That's all the targeted individuals. Talking about those directed energy weapons. Talking about even mind control. How they can beam that out over cities and towns and have everybody think the same thing. And those kind of things, okay? They study the frequencies. They know we're made out of energy. They know. They remember DNA, all of it. They've got it all on frequency. Okay? Opening these frequencies somehow allowed the spirits to travel to the world of the living. Ziegler also tells them that these spirits take away your will to live. Dex and Maddie find the server and upload Josh's fix, causing the system to crash and the spirits to vanish. Moments later, however, the system reboots, and spirits return, leaving Maddie and Dex with no option but to flee the city by car. Over the car radio, Maddie and Dex hear a radio report from the Army announcing the location of several safe zones where there are no internet connections, no cell phones, no TVs. See those frequencies? I believe it was Mr. James, Miss Angelia, was saying that the Lord was revealing to them that the demons ride on those frequencies. Okay? And Miss Pat knows too. I'm going to talk about this. I'm fixing to be doing a message on warfare in our home fronts. And I'm going to bring out some of this that we need to be more aware of than we are. It's not that just crazy stuff like Mom used to say. You shouldn't be watching that. There's something behind that. There's more behind what Mom was saying than what we were giving credit to. Okay? So, okay, they said, come here where there's no none of this technology. Okay, so it's a safe zone. As Dex and Maddie drive to a safe zone, the film concludes with a voiceover from Maddie saying, we can never go back. The cities are theirs. Our lives are different now. What was meant to connect us to another instead connected us to forces that we could have never imagined. Okay, that's just like us all on Facebook. Keeping up with family and friends and this and that, or texting, or, you know, all of us carry cell phones everywhere we go. All of this technology, right? And, you know, it's like a good thing. You can call anybody from anywhere. If you need, you know, need something out, you got a phone right there with you. All of this stuff, we thought it was good. And you see how they said it was meant to connect us to one another, instead connected us to forces that we never could have imagined. And remember, in case you don't know it, they've got their little hive mind that they're trying to connect all of us into by our technology, by the electronics that we have in our houses and everything else. Okay? They're trying to integrate it all together, that cloud, that network, that technology cloud. Okay? The world we know is gone, but the will to live never dies, not for us and not for them. And clips of abandoned cities, including a window of an apartment with Josh looking through it. So there's their friend stuck in the city looking through a window. Okay, then we're going to move forward. Look at this last picture here. Here we are. This one was 2008. And it says it right here on the movie poster. Dimension Extreme. And you see this, it says Pulse 2, Afterlife. And you see all this demonic all around this girl. And aren't they trying to merge the dimensions right now? And aren't they having success as well? Every time they crank up CERN, that demonic activity increases. And the people in France and Switzerland, they talk about it. More activity in their homes, all kinds of stuff. And if you think that stuff is segregated to stay in that area, the spirit doesn't know time and distance travel. It's nothing to a spirit, okay? And it ain't just staying right there when it's coming through. Then it's got the whole reality. It's got the whole world. It can go and do whatever because it's been released into here. They're drawing it in. They're purposely welcoming this stuff in, opening portals and gateways and trying to bust it wide open. Okay, so in closing, I just want to say that the questions that have been swirling around about how they did this and why we remember the changes at all, because, you know, why wasn't it seamless? How come we remember anything? How come we can even tell that they changed anything, right? Because it kind of seems like they did a sloppy job. If you were really trying to be all stealth and incognito, well, why'd you leave traces and clues at all, right? But I want to tell you something. Let's not forget, God always leaves us a trace of evidence, doesn't he? Haven't we seen that in all of the clay tablets and the writings and the artifacts and all the things that have been found? The wheels of Pharaoh's chariot in the bottom of the Red Sea. Okay, the Dead Sea Scrolls that plug right into the original text and confirm God's word. Okay, he leaves us the things that we need to know what's really the truth. And then they come and lock it down, destroy it, keep it away from you. You know, then that's what they do, right? But God shows his children what's going on. And I just want you to remember that Rockefeller bought out the rights to those Dead Sea Scrolls. Remember that they were having them digitized at Los Alamos Labs back in 1996. You better know that they weren't going to digitize those for the use or the benefit of Christians or the church. They were going to do it for their benefit and their purposes, okay? They don't do anything for the good of a Christian, I can tell you that. And so I just want to say that the things have been preserved, these things have been preserved and found because God always brings forth evidence for us to see his truth. And I want to leave us with one last strong scripture for those that are worried about all of this and what to do, and I'm telling you, Jesus is the answer. I'm going to go to Proverbs 16:4. Proverbs 16:4. Because I want you to remember who is in control. The Lord has made all things for himself. Yes, even the wicked for the day of evil. So, you might think about these people. How come they're getting to do this? How come they're getting to do that? How come they're torturing and terrorizing and doing everything that they did? Because God has them serving a purpose, his purpose. Okay? He's always done that. He will use what they're doing to serve his purpose for his glory and his honor. Okay? And so, that's wrapping up the Mandela effect. Don't drive yourself nuts looking for the changes. They're going to keep coming, okay? But try to wake up your friends and your family. Don't give up on those pastors, okay? We're fixing to pray and do a little bit of spiritual warfare for them, because you have to remember there's some people that are so used to playing church, they don't know how to get out of it. They don't know how to tell their congregation the truth. If you were a pastor and you never told your congregation that an alien is a demon, where are you going to start? Where are you going to start at the point that we're at now? Because now, if you've never taught your church about Genesis chapter 6 and what happened there, and they don't understand about Nephilim and the mixing of the fallen angels with women, where are you going to start? How are you going to now tell them all these things? How are you going to explain who these people are at CERN and what they're trying to do? How are you going to see that pastor, that person that's going to find themselves in that situation? Now it's got to go back. They got a lot of homework to do. They got a lot of catching up to do, okay? And I'm telling you what, they're going to be called on the carpet if they don't warn the sheep, if they don't blow that warning trumpet, if they don't sound the alarm. So we got to pray for these guys to rise up and get with the program and stop being like, I don't care if everybody on TV is doing whatever. You know better. You tell the truth, no matter what. There was something on my Facebook page the other day. Preach the truth, whether you fill up a room or you clear one out. Preach it anyway, okay? So let's pray, y'all. Dear Heavenly Father, Father, we thank you most of all for Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, you are our redemption. And Heavenly Father, you were never born and you will never die. And you are patient and you're just in all your ways. And we want you, first of all, and we need you more than ever now. And we know that you're in total control at all times and nothing takes you by surprise. You don't have to go to plan B or scrap something and begin again because something threw you for a loop. Some of us are so shaken we don't know what to think or what to believe. Some are in complete denial that anything like this can even happen. Father, the church is reeling over this, and division and anger are on the rise. And I just want to ask you to help those of us, Lord, who are seeing your truth, to stand up and shout it from the rooftops. Now for those pastors and the different people that you're going to who've been blinded and hardened against this, I'm going to go over into some warfare on their behalf. In Jesus' name, I come against the spirit of deception, the spirit of blindness, of deafness, of hardness of heart, a being right spirit, an argumentative spirit, an unteachable spirit. I bind all these spirits in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you, Satan, and your kingdom off of these ministers and these people who can't see what's going on through this Mandela effect. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. And in Jesus' name, I command these spirits off and out of the children of God. Jesus gave his church power over all the power of the enemy. So you will listen and obey, Satan, you and your whole kingdom. You are under my feet in Jesus' name. And right now, I plead the blood of Jesus over God's children and his true ministries all over this world. And Father, I ask you to wake your children up to see and hear what is happening and to have understanding by your Holy Spirit and to fight for the lost and dying souls in this world. To tell others what is happening so they can see and know that Jesus is so soon to return. That they will have a sense of urgency to repent and come to him and be serious about following him. Time is running out. And Lord, I ask you to send in your angels to do battle with Satan and all of his evil spirits, his ruling spirits, principalities, powers of darkness. To pull them out by the roots, out of your children's lives, and to grind it up, all the evil, grind it up and let it blow away like chaff blowing away in the wind. Father, we know you go before us and behind us. You fight for us and you are our protector. Give us peace in this time of confusion and war. Equip us with your word. Help us to recall it at will. And when we read and study your word, give us a right word, a true word by your Holy Spirit. Help us to walk by faith and not by sight and to be led by your spirit. And in Jesus' name, I come against all prayers, prayed against God's children, and all curses that have been cast against them and against your true ministries, Lord. I come against them in the name of Jesus Christ. And I command them to be ground up and blown away as chaff blowing away in the wind. In Jesus' name, I decree and declare that no weapon formed against a child of God shall prosper. And right now, I want to call out some people for prayer. Miss Shante, she's looking for a true church. She's having a hard time finding a church that's speaking the truth right now in the times that we're in. And I know she's not alone. There's been so many of you guys that have contacted me. Father, I ask you, Lord, for there to be more churches that'll stand up and that will shed the same old that they've been doing, shed the lies, that'll come out into the truth, that will humble themselves and come back to you the way that they should and start preaching your truth of what's going on in this world according to your word and according to what we see taking place. And Lord, lead your children to true churches where they can be fed and grow spiritually. Lord, I want to lift up Miss Judy. She lost her daughter. Her daughter's around 20, 21. And she was 8 months pregnant. And Lord, I'm asking you to comfort this family. I'm asking you, Lord, to bring your peace in and comfort this family. Lord, touch them and give them strength to go on, to persevere, to finish running their race. Wrap your arms around them, Lord. I want to call out some people who need to be delivered from drug addiction. Miss Jenny, little Bob, Kaylin. Heavenly Father, we lift them up to your throne. And Father, we're just asking you to move and work in their lives, Lord. Right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind all spirits of drug addiction out of Miss Jenny, little Bob, and Kaylin, and anybody else out there suffering from drug addiction. I bind the evil spirits that are at work in their lives. And Father, I ask you to move in while the evil spirits abound. And I'm asking you to minister to them by your Holy Spirit. Draw them into the light. Draw them to the cross of Jesus Christ. Father, give them strength, Lord. Do whatever it takes, Heavenly Father, to help them to break away from these addictions and to run to Jesus Christ. Lord, there's a single mom out there with 5 kids, and she's not the only one. Somebody asked me to pray for this woman. And Lord, I know there's a lot of single moms, single dads, single parents out there struggling. And Lord, she's having to live in a house with her ex-husband and his new wife. And that cannot be easy. She's wanting to get up on her own feet, Lord. She feels like a failure to her kids having to live in a situation like that. Lord, I ask you for the people who want a better life, who want to make a way for their kids in this world, Lord, who are struggling. Even the ones that are still seeking employment, Heavenly Father, Mr. David, and the others out there who are looking for jobs, Lord. We want to lift these people up to you, Heavenly Father. Help them to make a way, Lord. Help them to be able to take care of their families, Lord, and to not have that worry, that burden placed on them, Heavenly Father, because that's what we do. We worry about bills. We worry about how we're going to make a way, how we're going to keep food on the table and all of that. Even though you said, don't do it. Seek you first. The kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added unto you. Father, we're asking for your help and hand in these situations, in these lives, Lord. We lift them up to you. And we're still looking for those answers, Father, and for comfort and strength for these families. And Lord, I want to lift up Miss Kim to you. She just recently lost her husband. And Lord, just like Miss Judy losing her daughter, we know that we don't live forever. And we know that, you know, all of us are going to die at some point. And Lord, it's just not an easy thing for us to lose our loved ones in the flesh. So I'm asking you to pour your comfort out on these, on the people out there, Lord, who've lost loved ones and who are missing them, Lord, who are grieving and mourning. And your word says there is a time to grieve and there is a time to mourn. It's a process that we've got to go through, Lord. But I'm asking you to go through it with them and give them your peace. Place your peace in their hearts. Help them to make the right decisions, to lean on you and trust in you. I know that Miss Kim, you know, losing her husband, the head of the household, that can be a very hard thing. And you're trying to make decisions and figure out how to hold it all together. So, Lord, lead and guide her, Heavenly Father. Show her the way. And Lord, I just ask you for everyone listening, watching this message, everybody that's here. Father, I'm asking you to draw all of us into a deeper relationship in Jesus Christ. for those that aren't hearing Jesus' voice, that don't know the shepherd's voice. Father, I pray that you would reveal yourself to them in such a way that they would not mistake your voice, that they would know the great shepherd's voice. Heavenly Father, gather your flock. We long for Jesus' return. We're supposed to be longing for our bridegroom. That's who we're betrothed to. If you're not longing for Jesus, something's wrong. If you're not looking for his return, with all the things that you've been learning and things that's being exposed, if you ain't looking for him, something ain't right. Because Lord Jesus, oh, I'm looking for you. And we got to pour our hearts out to him and get right about our lives. And we got to confess our sins and ask forgiveness. We want to be found clean and pure and holy. We want to be living that holy life. We don't want to take it for granted. We don't know how much longer we have. Lord Jesus, we can't do anything without you. And so I'm even asking you to help clean up your church. Help clean up the bride. Help us to be ready, found without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. Help us to have on the right garments. Help us to be found, watching and praying to escape all the things that are coming on this earth. And they're coming fast right now. They're coming fast. They're messing with space and time and dimensions. Just like the Bible said they would. So y'all got to be prepared. Y'all got to come to Jesus. And I just ask all these things, Heavenly Father, bless your children. Protect us, Lord. You are our rock and our high tower. The righteous run into you and are safe. And I pray your blessings and your favor on your children. In Jesus' precious and holy name I pray. Amen. Hey, you guys. I just want to take a minute to let's go through how to pray the prayer of salvation, okay? And why? Why do we even need to pray the prayer of salvation, okay? And also, I'm talking to the people also who maybe walked with the Lord and you went away from him and you just kind of left it behind and you haven't really been walking with Jesus anymore. That's what we call backsliders. I'm talking to both the person who wants to be saved for the first time ever and to the person who's a backslider who wants to come back to Jesus, because this ministry does not believe in once saved, always saved. Okay, God does his part and we do our part. It's a team. We work together. All right, so the first thing is, you might say, and I hear this a lot, and even my husband was saying it, to be honest with you, before we got truly saved. I'm a good person. You know, I haven't killed anybody. That's kind of the standard these days. As long as you haven't killed anybody, you're a good person. Really, listen to this. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. All of us have sinned. To be honest with you, because the world is in a fallen state, we all are born into sin, okay? And also for the people that think, but I'm a good person. I'm good. I don't hurt nobody. I do good things. I help people. That person, then there's scripture in Isaiah that says for our righteousness, that's when we're calling ourselves good and we're saying, but we're good. We're good people. Our righteousness is as filthy rags to God. That's that thing that stinks that you're like, ooh, get it out of the house, right? Filthy rags to him. Okay, and he's the standard. He's the judge, Jesus Christ. And so the thing is, if we miss his mark and we don't please him, we're not going to make heaven. So we want to make sure we got our ducks all in a row, right? And if you look at the Ten Commandments, now we're not a legalistic church. We know we're under grace, which is what Jesus Christ brought. But there's people that say, you know, like, I don't need Jesus. I'm doing the Ten Commandments. Well, if you just pull out the simplest one, I'm just going to pull out one. You shall not lie. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, okay? That's what lying is. And if you say, I don't lie, that's a lie. Everybody lies. Little kids come out lying. You say, did you do that? Did you break this? No, not me. Bam. So come on, you know. So here's the thing. We've all broken at least one of the commandments. And in the New Testament, it says if you break one, you broke them all. Because that's the attitude of God. He's like, if you break one, it's just as good as breaking them all, because that's all it takes to separate you from him is one.
Okay, so let's pray that prayer of salvation. It's real easy to do, y'all. You just say, "Dear Jesus, please forgive me of all my sins. Please come into my heart. I believe you died on that cross for me, and I believe you rose again, and you are seated at God's right hand. Please help me to live for you all the days of my life, and thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen." Now, that prayer, you prayed to Jesus in his name. The rest of them, you're going to pray to the Father in Jesus' name, okay? And you'll get all that as you learn and grow in the Spirit, okay? To see why you needed to pray that prayer of salvation, the scripture on that is Romans 10, 9 and 10. That'll show you about confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart and how to obtain salvation in case you're wondering how come we're doing that, okay? Now, something that you're going to want to do, you want to right off the bat start establishing your relationship with Jesus, okay? And in order to do that, you want to hear his voice, right? You want to hear him. I don't know a person out there that's trying to be a Christian that doesn't want to hear his voice. And how you hear his voice? Read his word. That's his words written down for you and I to read. That's his voice speaking to you without a shadow of a doubt. Okay? Then when you pray, you speak to him. So what's that? That's two-way communication. You're speaking to him. He's speaking to you. Now you've got a relationship going. Okay? And you want to do that every day. Every day, seek him. You seek him by reading his word and praying and letting him know, "I want more of you." When you read the Bible, ask him to open your spiritual eyes and your spiritual ears and to give you understanding. And he'll help you understand his word, okay? He wrote it by Holy Spirit, okay? And the next thing that you're going to want to do is get in a good Bible-based church. Now, I'm not pushing any kind of denomination. You just want to find a church that is preaching and teaching the whole Bible, okay? They believe in the Bible, and they believe in Jesus Christ, that he is God and the Son of God, okay? And that it's through him that we have our redemption and our salvation. He's the way, the truth, and the life, okay? And also, I wanted to say that some people think, "Oh, I just pray for forgiveness one time and I'm done because he died way back when. So now that I ask, it's all already done." No, you need to ask forgiveness and try to make it a habit on a daily basis, because we're in these fleshly bodies before we get our glorified bodies. So we battle this flesh daily. So just, you know, when you pray each day at some point during the day, say, "Lord, please forgive me for all my sins," and go on about your prayer. And he knows you're praying and you're talking to him from your heart. And you talk to him just like you and I would talk, okay? You don't have to have fancy whatever, all right? And ask him to help you grow spiritually. If you want to, let us know that you prayed that prayer. It would be such a blessing to hear your testimony, okay? God bless y'all.